5th of June. What's the Kaddish day? Yud Gimel, 7th of Shin Pei. Okay, I can hang up on this now?
Yeah, no, don't hang up. Just put it down. Just put it down on the table.
Right, yeah. Okay. Right. Morning, Rabbi Isai. The more hachona, I suppose, the better the outcome will be the Seata Dishmaya. Good morning, a good night of Shabbos. To begin with the story, Zalman Sarotskin tells the following story. There was a Jewish minister who had reached a high level in a particular royal court. And he was a successful, wealthy businessman in his own personal life too. And he was a wise man. The king loved him dearly, as we find very often. And of course, in the same manner, and just as often, this aroused the jealousy amongst the other non-Jewish ministers, and they were out to get him. They didn't like the close connection, the close bond that the king had with this, particularly this Jewish minister, and they were out to get him. They plotted against him, and they came to the king and said, you know, your good friend, minister such and such, all his wealth, it's through embezzling your accounts. It's from taking from your treasures. It's not his own sort of hard-earned money. And the king, of course, wasn't here and wouldn't listen. And they badged him and nagged him and came at him again and again. Eventually, you know, the king sort of began to give in. And one day he was talking to his friend, the Jewish minister, and said, tell me, my friend, what's the amount of your wealth? How large, how great is your wealth? Give me some figure. And the minister gave him some figure, which seemed quite low, you know, comparative to how the fellow lived and what other people were saying. So he sent his servants to the accounts and find out really how much he owns, how much his wealth is worth. And they came back, of course, at a vastly different and greater amount. The king was very annoyed. You're lying to me. And had him arrested. They had him arrested, had him imprisoned, and all his wealth was confiscated from him. After all, the king was his friend, an erstwhile friend now. And the king one day came to visit the minister in prison while he was waiting for the case to come up, the court case. And the king asked him, tell me, my friend, why did you lie to me? Why do you make out as if you own so little compared we know the truth? And the Yid said to the king as follows. I have a little booklet at home. And in that booklet, I record all the monies I spend on mitzvahs, on tzedakah, for chesed. And when you ask me how much I own, you will see the amount in that booklet is the amount I mentioned to you. That is what I really own. That nobody can take from me, that I have stored for me and waiting for me in Olam Haba, in Olam HaEmes, the next world. That's what I really own. The rest that I seem to own, the rest that you think I own, is not really mine. Any moment in time, it can be taken away from me. Pariah, what happened the other week when you confiscated all my funds? That isn't really mine. The king ordered for this booklet to be brought to the prison. And sure enough, the amount was exactly as the Yid had recorded and had said was recorded in the booklet. And the king was duly impressed, the honesty, integrity, the wisdom of his friend, and of course set him free, reinstated him, and returned all his wealth. So Zalman Sarotsky, we have a posuk in Unzra Parasha, Perek Hei Posuk Yud, Ish Asher Yitein Lakoihein Lo Yihiyeh. And he learns Pshat. Poshet Pshati Rashi, Bishiyitin La Kohen Matonis Haruyas Loi, the one who will give to the Kohen his dues, Lo Ye Moen Harbe. What Ashiyitin La Kohen, you give what's due to the Kohen, the Baruch will see to it that you have Moen Harbe. He says Pshat as follows now. What you give to the Kohen meaning Ruchanius, what you put aside for Ruchanius, Lo Ye, that's what you really own. That's what you really have. And Baloshin Osid Lo Yeh, of course, the benefits of that are waiting for each and every person It's reminiscent of Gemara in Bava Basra that Yud Aleph, more tells about Munbaz HaMelech. As we know, there was a Medina called Ariadne, and the queen of which was Helene Hamalka. And she had a husband called Munbaz and a son, Munbaz the second. And this son, Munbaz the second, there was a famine in his empire at one time. And he opened the royal coffers and gave out very generously from the royal coffers to all who needed it, the starving, the hungry, the poor. When his brothers, the other princes, came to him and said, "Are you talking? What are you doing? You know, our father, Abaisakra Gonzu Boisifu, Al Shalabaisam, your fathers sort of put away and added to the treasures of their fathers. And you're just sort of wasting them now?" And he replied, "My father, right, put it away, but lamato for down here, I put it away for up there. My father put away here, down here, when anybody can get a hold of it, so to speak. It can be robbed, stolen. Mine is safe. I always say, Gons dobra sha'inoisi peris, vani gonazi dobra sha'ise peris. Mine bears fruit, unlike my father's. I always say, Gons ula acherim, vani gonazi la atzmi. I always say, Gons loelam hazer, vani gonazi loelam habo." So we have here, again, what you put aside for ruchnis, so to speak, which is symbolized by hakohen loyer, that is our true wealth. That's what really belongs to us. Very, very parasha seita, parasha sedra noso. We have, of course, the parasha of seita and nozi. Chazal ask, lama nismecha parashas nozir le parashas seita. Why are the two juxtaposed? And for the Gemara, Chazal, very famously, Laimalok to tell you, Shekar Haroya Seita Kulkula. Anybody who witnesses a Seita in her poor state at the time of her downfall, when she's being punished for what she did, Yaziyati Menayain. When you see that, separate yourself from wine. And aim for Kedusha. That's the connection between the two parashas. The Imre Emes Atzal of Ger asks as follows. If in the Torah, the parashas are in that order, we have Seita, then Nozir, for that reason, because when a person sees what happened to the Seita, he should become a Nozir. Why, in the Seder of Shas, have Chazal ordered it differently? There we have Nozir before Seita. So, there are many Mefarshim tackle this point, the beginning of Mishnayis Nozir. We have in the Mefarshim there, one simple answer is that Nadorim follows Nadorim because Nozir is a Neder. You've got Nadorim, Nozir, Seita. The Imre Emes says the following Mahalach. The real Derech in Avodas Hashem should be, as the Pasuk says, Sur Meira Va'as Seitoi. Before one can aseitev, what one can achieve kedusha, one has to be rid of tuma, sumira, clear away, get away from all tuma, and then baseitev. Otherwise, it's like tevel b'sheretz v'yadoi. You know, if I go to mikveh and I'm holding this sheret, which is the cause of tuma in my hand, obviously the tefillah is it's chuchet lula, it's ineffective, it's a joke. Similarly, ideally, so to speak, if I still have tuma within me, as I achieve for Kedusha, they're contradictory, right? It's not going to work. And therefore, the Pasuk says, you've witnessed the punishment of Seita, now depart from Ra through all that, and now by Seita, become the Nazir, become the Kodesh. However, says the Imre Emes, in practice, this wouldn't work. As Kleina Menshalach, right? We're going to spend all our life, right, busy, fighting the Ra, fighting the Yitzhara, we'll never achieve any Kedusha, we'll never reach the Aseitoi. Therefore, the Imran says, Chazal, by putting Nozir before Seita, are telling us a different Mahalach. The Yid has to do good from the very beginning. Whatever we can do, every little bit of achievement, of steiging, of trying to tap onto Kedusha, Yirat Shamayim, and Ruchnius, we have to do. Nozir. He says, Sur Meira, ignore the Ra. Yes, of course there's Ra within you, and that you're doing, making mistakes and falling. Ignore that. Step on all that. Sur Meira. Aim for the Tov. And eventually you will see, he says, that the Ra will fall away. So the Chazal, therefore, going, telling us different practically for ourselves, it's not Seito ben Nozir. In other words, Sur Meira v'Asei Tov. No, we have to tack and begin, constantly aim on Asei Tov, Asei Tov, Asei Tov. Sur Meira means ignore the Ra. Don't make a fuss about it. Try to overlook it. Aim for the Tov. And he says in the end, the Brocha the Havtacha, that the Ra will tack and be Sur Meira. We have, at the end of Parshas Nozir, we have Birchas Ken. Again, so much to be said. Hagon of Aaron Volkin, in the pre-war Gedolim, asks the following question. We all know, as the Pasuk tells us in B'chokoy Sayt Eleichu, that the root of all bracha and toivah ba'olam hazeh is Torah. Torah, limud ha-Torah, shmiras ha-Torah, as the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu promises us. If so, he asks, surely the conduit for Hashem's bracha should be through Gedolei Torah. Why Kohenim? Why any, with respect, any young bar mitzvah Kohen? I'm not a Kohen. Any young bar mitzvah Kohen, who I can go out there and go by the Oren on Yom Tov and give us a bracha. What's he said? Where is it? A Talmud Chacham, who is steiged in Torah and lives a life of Torah, a god of Torah, he is Mali Bracha, and he should be able to pass on Bracha. Interesting question. Again, different answers. He refers us to Gemara in Seita. Omri Bashur ben Levi, Seita Lamed Chasim at base. Omri Bashur ben Levi, Ein Noistin Keshul Bracha Levorich. When it comes to Birchas Hamazon and you're giving out the Keshul Bracha for somebody to bench over, you give it to somebody who has a good eye, a generous person, an ayin toivo. Shenemar toiv ayin hu yaveirach. Mark what's a pasuk. Al tikru yaveirach el yavarech. Yaveirach means he shall be blessed. Yavarech means he shall bless. Toiv ayin hu yavarech. So you give the kesh to bracha to a toiv ayin. The marshal. On the spot, Marshal comments as follows. Why give the bracha to a toiv ayin? Sha'bracha chala lefi kavonas hamavorich. Because bracha is effective vis-a-vis to the amount of kavona that the mavorich wants the bracha to be chal. So a toiv ayin who is generous, who wants other people to have bracha, when he benches and makes and benches the balabos, and the bias, he means it for real. And therefore give it to him because he wants the bracha to be chal and the bracha will be chal. And the Marshal adds, v'zehu kavonas ha-keanim b'birchasom. When the keanim make the bracha before duchanan, levorech is amo Yisrael, by ahava, they're saying, we've been commanded to bench you ba'ahava, ba'ayin toiva v'rotzayin le'leit. In other words, we want this bracha to be effective. That's Leborech is Am Yisrael b'Yahav. So for a bracha to be effective, the Meborech has to really have the full intention, the full kavana, the full rotzen, that the bracha should be effective. Says Rabbi Aaron, a Talmud Chacham, Gadol Matera, of course, but will his intention always be so mole, you know, so focused, that he wants a bracha to be effective? Love Dafka, maybe not. But the Kohen, his kavana will be me'achuz, 100%, that he wants his bracha to be effective. Why? Because the Kohen had no chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Levim had something, Kohen had nothing. Their whole sustenance, parnosa, was all from truma, bikurim, zlok, other chalokim of korbanos. It all depended what Am Yisrael gave them. And the more Am Yisrael would have, the greater Baruch Am Yisrael would be benched with, they would be able to have more. And therefore their Kavana, B'Shas Birchas Kainim, is certainly going to be B'Malei Kavana, 100% Kavana. We want this Baruch to be effective because their whole life, the whole panos and sustenance was tailor and dependent on the bracha that Klal Yisrael will be zeicher to. Right in Birchas Kohanim, Dovid HaMagid asks a question. He asks a question, he says, after all, when the Kohanim bench us, it's a tefillah. Yivarechecha Hashem, v'yishmerecha Yoer Hashem. So why turn to the people? Turn to the Aron HaKadosh, turn to Mizrach, like the Chazan or Baal Tefillah always does. Davan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu, shall Yivarech on the people standing behind us? One question. Second question on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Daber Alarin Albonov Leimoyer, Kesavarchus, Bani Israel, Omer Lahem. And many again, many before us discuss this double expression, Chazal, Leimoyer, Omer Lahem. What's why the Omer Lahem again added after Kesavarchus, Bani Israel? And of course, Dugna Magid, Lishitosoi, Pekart Darke Bakedesh gives a mosh. There was a son, young man, who misbehaved terribly towards his father. He was being, whatever, we can imagine what it means to misbehave terribly, so much, so to such a degree, the father booted him out of the house. I can't have you anymore. I can't have you anymore. And the son had no choice, had to leave the house. He wandered around town, getting a bit of food here, a bit of food there. He began to look shabby. And how they had a roof over his head at night. And the townspeople themselves began to feel rachmanis for this poor young man. And they approached the father, trying to get the father to forgive the Michael the son and take him back home. And the father said as follows, I beg you and plead with you that I should have pity on my son and give him what he needs. I beg you and plead with you that I should have pity on my son and give him what he needs. And they said to him, what's going on? It's all in your hand. What do you mean that you should have pity? It's up to you. What do you mean? The father said as follows. Do I really need you to tell me to have pity and rachmanis on my son? He's my son. Don't I love my son? What I ask, if you want to make shalom between us, you go to my son and tell him, explain to him what he's done wrong. And where I can't continue to behave like that. And that will create shalom between us, and then he'll have everything he needs. Says Dovid HaMagid, in the same way, the Kohanim have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bench us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us more than we can imagine. Bonim Chavibim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kohanim have to tell us, Omer Lahem, tell Klal Yisrael, what you have to do to be zeichet Hashem's bracha. So they turn to us, the Kohanim. We're talking to you, Omer Lahem, right, telling us what we should do. If we do what's right, then, Baruch Hashem Yishmerecha, and etc., etc. About 100 years ago or so, in a Beis Medrash in Yerushalayim, in HaKadosh, a visitor, a stranger, arrived. And this Yid, the Pashtetzach, all the other Mispalim, oh, Shalom Aleichem, Van Nekum Tagid, he said, Kum von Ostrovce. Ostrovce in Poland, thousands of miles away, in those days, Ostrovce. Who vanished ahead from Ostrovce? Who has heard of Ostrovce, the Heiliger Ostrovce? Tell us something about the Rebbe, the Ostrovce, the Gadol. This year was holding the hand of a 7-year-old daughter. He said, Man Tochteril, this is a Moifis from the Ostrovce. Oh, yeah? Tell us more. What do you mean? What's the story? And he began to relate how, for years, he and his wife, the Chmolny's son, they had children, the children didn't survive. And one day, his wife, very distraught, burst into the study of the Heiliger Ostrovce and said, Rebbe, I'm not leaving here until you give me havtacha that our next child and our children in the future are going to be b'nei kayom, are going to survive. And the Rebbe looked at his head down, thought, and he said, Azay. He said, I give you a bracha. You shall have a ben kayoma, a child who's going to survive. And when your next child is born, call him a name that you find in the parsha. Okay? And that will be a segula, a zechus, for the kiyum of your child. And so, okay, they go away feeling happy, uplifted. The Rebbe's given a bracha, an advice. They go home. Sure enough, a year later, a baby is born. A meidela, a baby girl. They go to the luach, Pashas Nosoi. Oy vavoy, Pashas Nosoi? Where do you find a girl's name in Pashas Nosoi? You got loads of boys' names, but no girls' name. What do we do? Oy vavoy. And they ran back to the Rebbe with their concern. The Rebbe thought, and he said, okay, he said, in Parasha Nidor, you won't find the Parasha of Nasei, a girl's name. In the Haftarah of her, we have a reference. We don't have a girl's name. We have the wonderful story, the forerunner to Shimshon. And Shimshon's parents were called Monoyach. And the Gemara Bava Basra tells us his wife was called Hatzlal Phoenis. Why? See in a moment. Said the Rebbe, call your maidala Hatzlal Phoenis, and she'll be okay. And sure enough, says the Yid, this is my Hatzlal Phoenisal. And that was the story he told the Segula. The Marshal Chachma Shleimer actually adds, he says, such a name is good. Why was she called Hatzlal Phoenis? Eshes Monayach, we call her for short, was a great lady, a great woman. And when they davened for a child, the Malach came to her. A Malach is referred to as Tzeil. Tzeil is a shadow. A shadow, right, looks like a complete figure on the ground, but of course has is not tangible, has no real body to it. Like a malach looks a real figure, but really is spiritual. Tzeil, Hatzeil pono eleha, says the Gemara. The shadow, the malach, turned to her. And a double lamud, because the malach came twice. So Hatzlal, the tzeil came to pono, came twice to her. That's why she was called Hatzlal Phoenis. That's the segula of the name. A few more minutes. Also, to stick to the Haftarah, when the Malach was speaking to Monayach, Monayach asked the Malach his name. And like we found the Yaakov Avinu, the Malach responded, Lo mozeh tishal ishmi, why do you ask my name? V'hu feli. No relation to the footballer. Fei lamed aleph yud. Who Feli, and he is Feli. And again, different Peshtotim, what the Malach means. According to one Peshat, a Malach is given his name after his Shalichus that he has to be sent to perform. My name is Feli because I've come to tell you about Nazirus. You, Mrs. Monach, Rabbi Monach, the child have to be Nazirim. And the parasha of Nozir, in this week's parasha begins, Ish ki yafli lindor nezer nozir lahaz. So Ish ki yafli is symbolic of the parasha of Nozir, therefore I'm called Feli, because of yafli. I was always bothered. Are there other words which are more symbolized and encompass Nazirus more than the word ki yafli? What about yeini, gafni, sari, right? Why Yafli, which is the least important part of Nazirus? The man shall utter and take on the neder. Talk about the actual, halachas of Nazirus. And I think an answer could be beginnings, kabbalas, undertakings are so important. They have to be b'lev shalom. They have to be with a kavana l'shem shemayim. They have to be with a determination. Come on, I'm going to keep this. The side of the binyan is the yafli, is the undertaking, is the utterance. In the same way, or similarly rather, in addition, if you think about any mitzvah, I want to give tzedakah. Put my hand in my pocket, take out a coin and give it to the oni. Who has made the oni? Hashem. Who has given me the money? Hashem. Who has given me the ability to put my hand in my pocket, give it to the oni? Hashem. What's my chelik in the mitzvah? My chelik in the mitzvah is my decision, undertaking to do it. That's all I have in a mitzvah. My rotzen, my achlata, my decision. My bechira. The rest is all God-given. So the yachli, that is the chelik I have in the mitzvah in the series, the undertaking to do so. Now, just to end off, we sing a song, Ki Beis Toivos Olai. This comes from Shir HaYuchud L'Yoyim Aleph. And if you have a look in the Shir HaYuchud, you'll see the author of this song has left out lines. I don't know why, what his kavanah was. Ki Beis Toivos Olai, Tigdal Tochas Tocha Olai, Kish Baruch Hu, you did so much good for me. Ma'ashiv Loch, what can I return to you? Hakel Shalach, Lecha Shemayim, Eretz Loch, In other words, the answer to Ma'a Shiblach is only Anachnu Chafetzim. That's the only thing we can do, so to speak, return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the chafetz, the desire, the want, the bechira to do the mitzvah. We should beseech everybody to have many mitzvahs and many bechiras l'tovah and other brachas. Have a good challenge.